Blog Talk Radio.
It is Magnificent Monday. I am Dr. Lorenza B. Smith, the host, listen to it, the host of Talking Real to You. And Talking Real to You focuses on just plain old life issues. And I'm so excited to have a chance to come before you on Magnificent Monday. I hope all of you had an awesome weekend, because I'll say I did. It was a weekend that is well known in a lot of areas, the Labor Day Classic. It was a post Labor Day Classic weekend in Montgomery, Alabama, at Alabama State University. They played a game between Tuskegee University and Alabama State University. It had a lot of festivity. The pageantry was there. So I'm so glad to have a chance to just enjoy that. We tailgated. We just had an awesome time this past weekend. Now we come on Monday, we're going to talk some real stuff. We're going to talk with real talk. We call it real talk. It's Talking Real to You. The call-in number is 347-857-4192, and I am, again, Dr. Lorenza D. Smith, the host of this show, and I'm so excited. I had a previous show on at 7 o'clock. A lot of individuals joining me at that time, and I hope more join. I'm on Facebook as well as on Blog Talk Radio, so you have a chance to be a part of it. You can use that call-in number if you just have your words you want to share, have things you want to say, and the call-in number is 347-857-4192. Now, if you want to go to the web link and just listen to the show, which is Blog Talk Radio, it's www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. You can just listen to the show. You just put it on, do whatever you need to do. I always tell everybody, on a day like Monday, you worked hard all day because you had a long weekend and you're just relaxing. Just get in your recliner. Get you a bonbon or anything, or even get your meal and sit down and just kind of enjoy yourself. And just, you know, kick your heels up, get you some libation, whether it might be tea, might be water, whatever, and just enjoy this show. We're on from 8 o'clock Central Standard Time to 9 o'clock Central Standard Time. In essence, if you're on the East Coast, that's 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time to 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So I'm real excited about tonight, because we have some awesome topics that we're going to talk about tonight. Our show title is Every Election is Determined by People Who's Showing Up and Showing Out. I'm going to say that again. Every election is determined by people who shows up and shows out, you know, and that's the key to it. Every election. So we're going to talk some political things tonight. Our aspect's going to be focused on political. We got several topics that focus on some local areas. So what we're going to do, we're going to make sure we have a chance to let you be a part of it. All you have to do is call in. And once you call in, just press 1.
And the call-in number again is 347-857-4192.
You press 1. I identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number and ask you to give us your name, your location, as well as your comments, your expertise, or any questions you may have. So I'm real excited. Now, the team is slowly trying to come on, and I'm trying to wait till they get on. I have one member already joining us right now. I appreciate that member joining us. We have one so far, so as soon as I can get her booted up, she'll be ready to go with it, and I'll get a chance to introduce her. But I'm going to try to take time to allow those other individuals to call. Now, I see one of the individuals that one of our experts that joined us a lot. I know he's kind of busy. Cameron Gimmer. He's on Facebook. Cameron, it'd be nice. Just hit your button and then you put your picture up and you can be tuned in through Facebook. It does work like that. So check us out and we'd like for you to be a part of. If you want to have something to say, you want to do it through Facebook, there's an opportunity for you. All you got to do is make sure you make yourself available to be visible so I can see you. Then I'll make sure I allow you to come on and let you share your thoughts. And it's good. It's good to be here today. Before I move in further, I want to introduce the individual that's on this line right now, which is one of our co-hosts. And the other ones will join us as soon as they come on the line. So I do appreciate this person being on. And we're going to talk some politics, and we're going to share our thoughts the best of our ability. And we want you to do the same. Again, the call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1. I identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell or your telephone number. Then I ask you to tell us who you are, your location, and what's your comments, your questions, as well as your expertise. You may have an analysis about something, so we do appreciate it. All right. Our first co-host that's joining us, and I'm going to have to make sure I give her that shout-out. Like I try to give her a raving introduction, and I try to do that all the time. She hails from the state of Georgia, just a little southwest of Atlanta. And she's awesome with her thoughts. She comes at you. And she's the other Dr. Smith of the show, none other than Dr. Olivia E. Smith. How you doing, Doc?
Good evening, and how are you?
I am good. And I'm so glad that you are joining us at this point. And like I said, the other members will join us as soon as possible. But, you know, we have to get the show and keep the show going. So we try to make it do what it do. All right? So we're really excited about this. All right. So I see now the other co-host is joining us right now. And I want to make sure I give her the shout-out like we normally do. That was Dr. Olivia Smith who joined us and said hello to everybody. And now we have a young lady from the state of South Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina. So glad always to have her here. She plays a major part in each of our shows when we have it. None other than Scarlett H. Black. How you doing, Scarlett?
I'm doing fine tonight. How are you?
I am feeling awesome. So glad. It's magnificent Monday. So no complaints out of me. So I'm real excited today.
Well, we're glad to have our listening audience with us tonight, too. And just good to be on.
It is good to have each and both of you all on at this time. Now, I want to let you know we are being broadcast by Facebook as well. So, you know, we'll have you where you're speaking and have a lot of people checking us out. They're slowly coming in quickly. They rolled over from the show I had earlier at 7 o'clock to now. They want to hear about this politics. We want to hear about how you feel about politics, team. It don't have to be so much in your area, but you can relate to become national issues as well as local issues. All right, our title is for tonight is Every Election is Talking About People Who's Showing Up and Showing Out. When you come, you got to come and vote. You can't hope it happens. You got to make it happen. Make it do what it do. So we're going to look at our first topic, team, and I want you to kind of share your thoughts, and I'll do the same. Well, the situation that's in national news right now, dealing with the governor of the state of Alabama, Kay Ivey, Governor Kay Ivey, she's been asked to resign for wearing a black face during her younger years out of high school and in college. Tell me what's your thoughts on that, team. How do you feel about that occurring back some 40 years ago, 50 years ago, and now we're being able to address it? And I want you to share your point of view about it. We'll start off whoever want to be first out of the team members.
Well, I have ambivalent thoughts about that. Because if everyone's held accountable for what they did 40 and 50 years ago, that's one side of it. And then the other side is, how is her position or what is her attitude now? Because people do evolve and they grow up. And not that that excuses anything of someone being silly during those young years, because in the Deep South, and that's where, you know, we are, for you and I, and Dr. O, you know, we're Southerners, and, you know, we know how it has been. It's been pretty rough, and we're not, you know, we're teaching these things in school. You know, did they get these things in school? You know, when you've been taught by people who had the same beliefs that they did, you know what I'm saying? So how is her attitude? I guess, has she evolved? You know, does she have black Americans appointed in her administration? Are they in key positions? Is she making policy changes that's going to positively affect the black community? Does the black community in Alabama have a voice, or is she playing politics as usual based on her upbringing and her heritage? That would be the question I would have.
And just try to give some in-depth look at that. Just from being in Alabama, I can tell you the situation is that there are some other controversy topics that she has been in the forefront of. And if you know, Alabama passed something in the legislature dealing with abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Off on that. So that tells you a one phase of it, how she is. I'm not saying that have anything to do with what you did 40 years ago. We all, like Scarlett said, evolve into a different person when you're 60 and 70 years old from what you was 20 and from 18 to 25. However, as the politics continues, the same old politics, because even with the abortion issue, there's a sense that she's more like where Alabama's about to be sued over that. We're taking a stern approach to abortion situation. So that's one thing that kind of makes you think maybe her thoughts is not changing. You know, she's just really been elected because she served a term of a previous governor who had to resign. So she came in because she was lieutenant governor. And this is be her first full term at it. And it's kind of looking kind of, from the beginning, kind of shaky. And it's look like, are we really getting the kind of leadership we need to have? That's the question that the voters in the state of Alabama have to ask. And, like, if we can come out and elect, and I think you brought this up last time, Scarlett, about Doug Jones. You know, when everybody came out and voted to get Doug Jones in that seat that had been held by the Republicans for so long, you know, we can still, and it was the vote came from the black population. A large number of them came out and voted. So we need to address this issue. We need to see exactly, look at it at both sides. And I'm in agreement with you, because I just believe you have to look at it both sides, because if we start searching in some of our past, go back 20, 30 years, we're not going to be proud of it. Let's keep it real. We're just not. And if we're going to start holding the people accountable for something you did when you was a teenager or when you was early years of college, you know, are we really addressing our situation? And that's my thought so far. And Dr. O, I want to give her a chance to kind of share her thoughts on that as well.
Well, I am ambivalent as well, because she did not do that in the here and now. This was in the past. Again, college, adolescent years, a lot of us have done things that we're not proud of. But then as we come up to this current year, what has she done to make changes in the state of Alabama or to impact change? What is her legislative platform? What is happening other than talking about blackface? Because there was a time and place where it was acceptable in the South.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, yeah, it was also, not, you know, on the entertainment circuits too, on the, you know, movies mm-hmm. and stuff too.
Right. That's what we saw growing up in
mm-hmm.
the South. So,
exactly.
You know, I think when we spend so much time on such issues, we forget about the current reality of
mm-hmm.
what's happening and what's being done for the people, for the voters. And then if blackface, somebody took time to bring up blackface, what else can you bring up?
Yeah.
To help those who will vote, who go out to vote. And for those of you who did not vote, where were you? Whether her face was black or red, where were you?
Mm.
That's a good question, because we have got to take pride, and we've talked about this on this show too. And, you know, we talk about, you know, it's almost like the point that we wait for other people to come and do the heavy lifting
mm.
for us, to save
yeah,
us
yeah.
and all these things, and we just sit back and look at them and let them do it. And I'm just looking for the pride in our culture, the pride in our race, our pride in our ethnicity, because some of the things, you know, really come back to us. We refrain from getting involved, getting engaged. We can go stand in lines for hours, you know, for some chicken sandwich contest or whatever. We won't go to school to check on our children, who are being taught by the same people who also probably did blackface when they were kids, who have been in the front of the room teaching your kids, teaching our kids. That type of thing, because, well, we got children or not, they're all ours. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And we got to be concerned. There's some things that we get, we just lose our sense of focus and priority. You got someone who is killing our democracy, and the first people that's going to be able to feel that will be those who are poor, those who are minorities, those type of things, you know, those type of people, unless you own your own company, business, or corporation. And even with that, they're being affected too. So, you know, I would like to know her voting record. Again, what is she doing to change Alabama? We know the stats of Alabama. We know the stats of Louisiana, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, where I'm originally from, and what's happening there. They got a, you know, vote going up tomorrow. On that district, which is not far from where I grew up in North Carolina, where the fraud was committed, you know, and he's there having a big rally tonight, trying to, you know, get out the vote and get people stirred up with things that just aren't true. Where is our pride, our dignity, our integrity as a people that will say, no more? We got people that have died in the Bahamas, and then they're trying to, you know, get help, and because they couldn't produce a visa today, those, you know, they were turned around. When you're trying to save your life and keep from drowning and losing everything that you have, the last thing on your mind is trying to find a visa to get, you know, to get your documents together to have ready, because they're going to be water soaked anyway. You know what I'm saying? So some things we just got to We got, when you know better, you do better. And we, and what more do we need to know about what's happening that's going to help us to do better? And that means if you can stand in line for a chicken sandwich, you can stand in line for a vote.
Woo! Come on here.
Excuse me, yeah, now. I'm sorry. I haven't been on in a while. I got the...
Hey, you said a mouthful, and that's all. Don't apologize for what really needs to be said, and I think that's what's going on.
It's real talk. That's the name of the show, Real Talk.
We can find things to focus on. I'm just looking at some information, some data in regards to Governor Ivey. She apologized. She apologized for something she did when she was an undergraduate at Auburn University. So you're talking about 35, 40 years ago. Unfortunate, it happened. A lot of happened.
But has
she
apologized for trying to get rid of women's rights in the state of Alabama, trying to suppress the vote in Alabama, trying to make sure that people aren't entitled to health care in Alabama? Has she apologized for that?
No, that's all she apologized for then.
Because I got Lindsey Graham up here to deal with, okay?
Okay, that'll work. See, that's what we're talking about. Share your point of view about it. That's 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll identify you the last four digits of your cell or telephone number and ask you to give us your name, location, and share your comment, share the question you have or your expertise. And that's just some of the things. Now, there are some other things I can say. She has worked hard to make sure, and that's industry. You have the industry coming in and worked hard with the Air University to where it has become a place where, you know, industry is coming out of that. Also, several planes that were just being built over there are being worked on, designed over there at Maxwell Air Force Base, where the Air University is located at. So those are the things that we – they are not allowing to fall to the wayside here in Montgomery, Alabama. And she's doing that to make sure. She's working with the industry to come in Huntsville. There's a car industry that's going to be built up there. You know, and everybody know about in Montgomery, Alabama, you have the Hyundai, the only Hyundai plant in the country that produce all the Hyundai cars. So if you're driving in a Hyundai car, then it was produced in Montgomery, Alabama. Now you have a Kia plant over in Georgia, which is Kia came out of Hyundai, if everybody can remind themselves. So it came, so they're working hand in hand to make sure. So that's something positive. She did not.
Well,
not
I got BMW here in Greenville County, the only BMW plant in North America. I mean, it's the only BMW plant, period, here in North America.
Exactly. So those are kind of things that it's a lot needs to happen, but we, with our vote, we can make a change.
With the increased tariffs, you know, if it's great that they're bringing in the industry, but the tariffs are going to kill, you know, kind of negate the fact that you're bringing in all this industry. People have jobs and good paying jobs, great paying jobs, but if the tariffs continue to go up and the cost of steel continues to escalate, the cost of a car is going to be a lot more than what it is now. And at the point where these companies and corporations will start laying off people, you know, to try to make up those increase in those tariffs. And tariffs is nothing more than a tax. And we're paying these tariffs. We're paying for it, but through the goods and services that we purchase and that we buy. So if you wanted to bring a BMW, you know, it's going to cost a lot more. You know, all the cars, this is going to go up. And I just hope it won't affect, you know, folks who need these jobs and who can, you know, have a living wage, you know, for their families.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Exactly.
And it's my understanding that it's already impacting the trucking industry.
Yep.
People are limited in terms of their runs, in terms of how far they're going,
right,
with deliveries, et cetera, and people are being laid off already.
Already. And the farmers, you know, and that, you know, that, you know, well, you know the situation there. Food prices going up.
And that's
we have a lot we're going to have to focus on. And I tell you, we just can't bury our head in the sand and be comfortable the way things are. You know, you got to get out and vote, and don't talk about the vote, be about the vote. And that's what I want to share and make sure you understand that. And that's what we're talking about. We're going to focus on some things that we feel that, yeah, it touches us, and some people really, even about our race, don't really even care about a whole lot of stuff, as long as it's right here now because they don't know anything about it. But we got to focus on things like the tariffs. We got to focus on things like when the car industry come in, we give all these benefits to them just to build the company, but we're losing out. And a lot of times they don't even hire some of the people in the community. They don't even do that because I know that experience with Hyundai, when I experienced it because I was in the school system and we was all met with them. So those are the kind of things we got to focus on. So, but we're going to move our agenda. We're going to talk about our format to our next topic. And this is something, and I think it's happening a lot of time in other places. I know it has happened in even nationally as well as local. And it's dealing specifically with black candidates. Why do black candidates have a tendency to try to flood some significant political races? Why do, for example, I'm going to give you an example. It's something that's recently happened. Montgomery have a possibility of having the first ever black mayor, ever. We're in 2019. And we had 12 black candidates running, two Caucasian candidates. Why do we, when you see a chance, why do we run it and flood instead of getting together to strategize how we can get the best candidate in there so we can fight off the other opposite from us? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, it's the crabs in the bucket syndrome.
Correct. And I think we're seeing that not only in Montgomery, but nationally we're seeing that. Even
yes,
as we look at, you know, the Democratic race, in terms of so many candidates who have said that I'm running, I'm a candidate, until it's also impacting us locally. So why do so many come, you know, to flood that office? I'm not so sure, because everybody doesn't really have a political vision or solid agenda. I think people are running, and they're not looking at the impact. Well, if you're in a certain position, maybe we should keep you in this position. And we look at strategizing, placing some other people ahead, not ahead, but in a certain place to move our own agenda forward. And I'm not just talking, I'm talking a political agenda, not just a personal agenda.
I agree with you, Dr. O. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And also, we don't know who has been paid by folks that don't look like us to get other people that look like us to run. Now, let's be real here. You know, we're talking, you know, real talk, talking real to you. Now, let's just call it what it is. And I know, you know, we know it happens, and don't let nobody tell you it doesn't happen. Somebody will come along. Well, now, you know, Johnny, we'll help your campaign if you just get out there and run against them. Because maybe the person that is actually running and that who would be the best candidate for the area, community, and position and would get something done, if somebody that doesn't look like us don't think that person be a threat, or they would say too much and not stay in their place. So they would go with somebody safer and would pump money into that campaign to try to knock the person out who really is the best person for the job. It happens. And we know it happens. And you know folks who know it happens.
Exactly. And I'm glad you brought that up, Charlotte, as well as Scarlett. One of the things I've talked about, the local race here in Alabama, in Montgomery, for the mayor, with all those candidates running, the runoff, you know, we have a runoff, which you have one candidate black, one candidate white. Now, people already begin to say those candidates that receive 5,000, 4,000 votes going to sell their votes to that Caucasian person. That's the talk already. They're going to sell their votes. And the reason they ran was to pull those votes away from one particular person so they wouldn't get 50%. You have to have 50% and above to win what you call a primary. Or, you know, because we only had that first initial race, and whoever came out will take the top two. So if you all, if it's 12 people in there, you split 60,000 votes. You split it. But what's going to happen when you get down to the two candidates? Because I know the strategy is going to be on the other side, and I was telling somebody this the other day. There's going to be some money hand under the table.
Oh, yeah, under the table.
There's going to be a lot of money hand under the table telling their votes, their 5,000. I'm going to say it like that 5,000 votes that was taken away from that candidate because of being a black candidate, the other 4,000. And folks be getting money, but you would never know how much money they receive. But they're going to get some money. And that's crab. That's crab in the barrel. We like doing that, and we continue to do it. We just won't strategize. And people get so upset when they hear me say, we're not strategizing to win a race. We're strategizing to make ourselves look good. Share your thoughts on that, team.
Well, basically, well, you can tell it infuriates me because, first of all, You're a traitor. You're not being right, and you keep voting against your own interest. Because after they buy your vote, you know, then what are you getting? You're getting the same old, same old. You know, our communities are dilapidated, deteriorating, and now they're being gentrified because they're moving out pockets of poverty and moving them as far out of the city limits as they possibly can be. At least they are here. So that means that when industry and people come into the city proper, and not just the county, but, you know, the actual metropolitan part of the city, they don't see us anymore. You know, and we keep voting against our interest. You know, and we keep doing this over and over and over again. And there's just some people who are just downright, you know, I'm just going to call them just downright silly. You know, are you that silly and that envious of another person that looks like you, who would be a better candidate, and you know it, who would do the job and has the experience probably to do the job? Are you that envious and that power hungry? Or that jealous where you would actually sell your vote to keep that person out?
Wow.
Come on now, y'all. Be like President Obama used to say, come on now, man. Come on now.
Come on now, man. Come on now.
Come on, man.
Yep, exactly. It's real talk right here now. Join us, 347-857-4192. Press 1, I identify you with your cell. By your cell or telephone number, then I ask you the last four digits, and I ask you to give us your name and your location, and share your political thoughts, share your comments, do exactly what you need to do to make this thing do what it needs to do. Any other thoughts about this situation with these large number of candidates running for one particular office from a particular race?
Well,
just need to strategize.
Right. I just think we need to strategize. We did in the past. You know, growing up, you literally fell asleep in the church trying to hear what they were saying in
terms of
strategizing. This is what we need to do to move our people forward. There was a strategy in place.
Exactly.
And people were aware of the strategy.
And then when that person gets into office, you get behind that person. Then you say, okay, well, now Sally Sue, I make it in. Then I want you to do this, that, and the other. And then you have, you know, like on a football team, because I'm a big sports person, can't play a thing. I was a cheerleader, can't play a thing, but I love sports. And, you know, in the NFL, you know, the thing is, next man up. So now your time, the next man up. Go down, next man up. We don't strategize like that. Again, we pull each other down. We do it,
we do it. Exactly. And so this is real talk about politics, and then we're not going to hold back, but we want you to be a part of it. Again, you know, you can call in 347-857-4192 and share your thoughts as well. All right, we're going to move to a suggestion or topic that Dr. O brought up in regards to the Democratic Party, and then you have the Republican Party. You know, we have 20-some candidates that I know it chiseled down a little bit now, but just think, for the last 3 months, we've been inundated with all these candidates and all their slogans. Again, should it be a national strategy that you can pass down to the local chapter? But we got to see it happen at a national level in a lot of cases. Sometimes it might need to be grassroots. I'm not going to say that totally. But what's your thoughts on that, the Democratic Party having all, like, those 22 candidates at one time?
Well, my thing is, you know, I know who my candidate is, and I'm not wavering on it. The bottom line is, whoever represents this party, and I'm a lifelong Democrat. I saw my grandparents vote in every single election after they no longer had to pay a poll tax in North Carolina to vote. So this was entrenched in our family. You're going to get your behind up, and you're going to vote. So, you know, we vote for everything, whether it's the water commissioner or something simple as the head of this, that, and the other. We're going to vote. And my thing is, when it comes down to that, compared to what is going on in our country, I'm voting blue no matter who. Whoever is the representative and comes out the victor, I'm voting blue.
Awesome.
And that's
awesome.
My motto.
Awesome.
And I believe, you know, as you said, you know, you asked the question, why are so many Democrats running? And I think many are not happy about the state of the nation and what we are seeing in our nation and our international context. What are we doing, our international collaborations? I think many people are rising up to express that. Now, people are rising up and some are falling off.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
It's so many people until you can hardly see. It's like Ms. Charlotte said, you have to decide who your candidate is and you stick with your candidate. Because everybody has a political agenda.
Exactly.
And if your candidate is not the victor, then, you know, regardless, compared, just do a comparison. That's all I'm going to say. Make
exactly.
A comparative, you know, study. Compared to what's going on in our country now and how we're
exactly.
being viewed internationally around the world, how we're being viewed. Do you want a continuation?
Exactly.
Because I can't take another 24/7 tweet. So, you know, just at the point, you just get tired and fatigued and just sick.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
So
a lot
I'm
of people
blue.
Become numb.
No matter who.
Right. A lot of people have become numb to what's going on internationally.
Exactly. And just to add to that, something that might be even a political strategy right there. We just got to keep that in mind, too. And that's why we have to make sure we continue to plan. We have to make sure we have strategies to go, you know, attack situations like that. Because the continuation of that, we become to the point where I'm tired of it, but we can't do that. So we have to strategize. And we have to make sure. Now, my biggest concern is, and it's something was said earlier about everybody, you know, you support your candidate, and that's where the strategy needs to come in. What do we do when our candidate is not the one? Are we willing to? Now, we have to think about our mindset and think about how people are willing to have our supporters go support that one candidate. Proven fact, 2016, if you remember, one of the biggest challenges was, even with the Democratic Party, when Hillary Clinton was elected, Bernie Sanders people didn't really want to go with her. So where are we right there? What is the strategy? How do we do? Do we plan before, 4 years before, or do we wait till someone, the person get elected? That's what I want us to look at, and I want you to be a part of it as well. That's 347-857-4192. Press 1, identify the last four digits of your cell or your telephone number, then ask you to give your name and location, and then jump in with your thoughts about politics in the United States.
Any thoughts on that? We got to get rid of the notion of celebrity. You know, we think that everyone's got to be another Martin Luther King when they get up to give a speech or a debate or whatever case may be. The debate does not give you a criteria on how or give you a window on how that person is going to be able to lead. We're already seeing examples of that. You know, your campaign, your crowd size, if that's what you're worried about, is not going to give you an indication on how you're going to lead this country. We're seeing an example of that. Talking all loud and big and calling names and insulting and making crude, crass comments does not give you an indication on what kind of leader you're going to be. It just means that you're just crude, crass, and insulting. And if we're looking for someone to come there and just, you know, to entertain us from a debate and from, you know, going around campaigning, no, that may not happen. You know, there are only so many President Obamas and folks like that who can command that will come across. But you have to look and research the work, the experience, what they bring to the table. Do they have respect of others around the world? This type of thing. Are you decent? Are you kind? Because putting kids in cages, having children separate from parents, and some of these children will never find, I'm going to start crying, because some of these kids will never find their parents again. Do you realize the emotional stress and feelings that these kids have? We've all been children. And how would you have felt if you had been separated from your loved ones or parents? And keep in mind, there are some people that do need to be separated, you know, we have a system for that when they're abused or whatever, their children. But I'm talking about loving families. And some of these kids will never see their parents again. Little kids, 3 years old, in the courtroom, at a courtroom table, trying to explain to immigration officials, you know, who he is and where he's from and all this kind of stuff. Come on. Like President Obama said, come on, man.
Yep. This is what we're dealing with. I'll work. Go ahead, Dr. Smith.
We have to see a government that's transparent and not operating in secrecy. We have to see that, because if we do not see that, then the strategy becomes enough for us to become so numb that we pay little or no attention to what's going on.
Man.
Yeah.
And it's operating. The machine is operating, but we do not see it. We do not see it.
That's the strategy. Everybody to keep in mind, that's the strategy. The machine is operating, and you cannot see this machine operating. And
no,
that's what
you
we
cannot.
Have done. We got to have an understanding, and we have to find out how the machine is operating so we can start operating in that manner. And I'll use a good example. When I was down in South Florida, they have a zip code down there, which is in Miami, close in, you know, down in down Dade County. And it's called a political machine, and it is Black America. And they work. If you're a part of that, they strategize and they're getting people elected, you know, things like that. We can't go to sleep on this. That's what we got to keep in mind. It's too many times we're falling asleep. And when we're sleeping, other races are out there planning to do something. Instead, we spend our time getting upset, and we can't let that happen. We got to come to terms with reality that we need to sit down and do something and strategize politically if we want to make changes even in our community, block by block. That's what we say here. Riding with a white horse, looking good in a nice suit that's going to change us. We change our own community. Yes, you got the white flight where they're leaving and going to the suburbs and all that, but we still got to take care of our community. We can't continue on doing the things we're doing in our community and satisfied with it. Or we're fleeing our community as well because we're so afraid to be around people that look just like we look. And that is not right. We got to keep a hell on this situation. We can't expect nobody else to do it. But that's what it's all about. Real talk.
And also down in Florida, you know, they had voted, which was great, to those who have been incarcerated, who had served their time, who had paid their debt to society. Felons were allowed to vote. Do you know they went back and put some type of financial fee on them? That was not part of their original plan. And I'm a firm believer that once you have paid your debt to society, and many of those who are there shouldn't be there because they were innocent and still, you know, got behind the eight ball in prison or whatever case may be, you know, they should be allowed to vote.
Yes, yes, yes. And that's something that a lot of places are working toward that in a lot of cities, in a lot of towns, a lot of states. But then to come and add something on it, a monetary means so you can, is also keeping you behind because most of the time you might not even have the money to pay it. It's almost like if you remember a long time ago where you had to be able to read, if you can't read, or you had to make sure your
poll tax
has to be paid. So it's the same thing that's going on now. The only difference is that the individual was not incarcerated. These are individual Black Americans who was trying to fight for the right to vote. So we have people die for this. And I want people to make sure they understand we have to strategize. Don't get upset with each other. Don't run all these candidates. Let's get the right person in, support that person to run. And that's something, a challenge that's going to come right in the city of Montgomery. You're going to have to come together and believe that the machine is working. Don't fall asleep on the machine. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Next topic we want to jump on right quick because our time is quickly moving away. I don't know how your city council is set up, your town council or whatever you have in your area. I had a question because I was concerned just in the Montgomery City Council area. Montgomery population is about 66% Black American, and it's 34% white, and maybe you might be 32% and 2% Hispanic, whatever it may be. But the bottom line is, why is this 9 district and 5 of them is white, controlled by white? That's the
question. For all the things that we've talked about tonight on this show, that's the reason why. It's almost like being in South Africa, where all those blacks in South Africa were being led by the whites there, and that's what they were fighting for. And we're still doing the same kind of stuff. You know, why do you keep voting? Why do we keep voting against our interests? And again, the crabs in the bucket syndrome. You got to let it go at some point. We got to let this stuff go and let people see our strength, our culture, our intelligence, all the things that make us who we are as a ethnic group, and bring others along with us who also feel the same way. That's why the civil rights movement, you know, was successful during this day. We're not anywhere near where we should be, but where we were and where we came from, we're a lot better off, you know, because of that. And people, like you said, died for these rights, protested, marched, all these things. We've just got to let this go and remember what's at stake here. Democracy is at stake, and that affects all of us, all Americans, everyone that lives here and call themselves American Dreamers or whatever case may be, that should be citizens. We all have a stake in this. And we can't just sit back and continue to see our democracy being eroded. And you better believe that while the plan is in action, you got Russia and all these folks in the plan. Now, don't let anybody tell you otherwise, because they have a strategy for us, too.
Correct. They do.
Exactly. You know, you talk about a nation that's operating and wants to be known as the powerful nation, too. So we just need to handle our business here. Whatever it is, we got to hold people accountable. If you do put people back in office, put people in office, hold them accountable. That's what I'm talking about. And don't sit around and say, okay, next 4 years we're going to get them out. It don't work that way. Because
in
that time,
60% black and got all that. Oh, Jesus.
You know, then he might do two or three things that good that the majority of their life. You ain't getting them out. You can begin it. So the point is, we need to strategize, and that's what we're talking about. All right, the next topic we want to jump on right quick is political savvy is a leadership. I'm making that statement. Because you're savvy in the political aspect is not a sign of leadership, and that's what we're talking about now. But we're not talking so much about on a national level. I want you to check out your local leaders and your state leaders, because they're so savvy politically. Are they leaders? Is that a sign of leadership? Just because you're so savvy, you can manipulate the votes, you can do all that, that makes you a leader? And that's the question. Political savvy isn't leadership. And what's your thoughts on that, team?
Well, again, you know, a lot of what we said before, some people are politically savvy in terms of strategizing, does not mean that their candidate that they put forth has the leadership skills. That candidate may be pushed forward to the front and someone else is running the machine from the back.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
And call puppets.
It's no point. That's what it's all about.
You know, real talk. They call puppets.
That's it. People got to realize that's what they do. They put their individual up there. So they're pulling the strings from the back. They're operating. They're funneling the money in. They're making sure, because they're trying to get what they want. That's one of the things they said with the I'm going to use, for example, the legislature, the Alabama legislature. You know, you know who controls. Yeah, we have those legislators, those senators, and those House of Representatives. But those big companies are the ones that down there, you know, politically working and controlling. These big insurance companies, these other big companies that got their hands on everything, and they channel that money in and to make sure it goes like it's supposed. I'm not saying something new, because we had several politicians go to jail or go to prison, had a governor go to federal prison, you know, because money being saved channeled. So I want everybody to understand, just because you're the one that got out in the front don't make you a leader. Because you still don't know exactly what you're doing. So having the savviness about being in politics don't make you the leader. You have to understand a lot of things. And I saw a young man, a seventh grader, come up with a good ideal. It wasn't a good ideal. I've seen it work before. He was thinking about running for vice president in his class. Had six candidates running for vice president. Only had one running for president. So you know what they decided to do? Run for president. You know what the results were? He won. So now we all running for that position. And all those boys, but he went, this is a 7th grade, a 12-year-old The 12-year-old decided and said, I want to run for vice president. There's too many people running. I'm going to run for president. I'm going to throw all my cards out there. Is that not political savvy?
Political savvy.
12 years old. And the size of leadership, too, because you got to make decisions. And just take that from that 12-year-old, that he decided not to run for the position that had six other people, but I'm going to take my leadership skills and go and be the president. And now this person's serving as the president of that seventh grade class. I applaud a young man like that. Already got the thought process going. Already going. And we do too, but we cannot be fearful of standing out and doing what we're supposed to do. We can't be fearful because we got a job and somebody's going to put the pressure on about our job and we're going to lose our job. And that way we're going to lose these house notes, these car notes, they're going to say this, and all the nice cars. Sometimes, you know, that happened when we were going through civil rights. A lot of people didn't participate in it because they were afraid there was threat. That's what it's all about. But just getting back to the savvy, being savvy.
My mother always had a saying, if you got to worry about your job, then maybe you don't need it in the first place.
I agree with your
exactly.
mom.
That was my mother's saying, if you worry about having a job, then maybe you don't need it in the first place. In other words, if you can't be who you are and say what you feel and say what you know is right and do what you know is right, you know, saying and doing got to be in sync, then maybe you don't need the job at all. And that's the way I approached every career, my career, you know, what I needed for children, whether you liked it or not, you know, hey, I got to say it. Didn't always get everything that we needed, but for the most part, about 90-some%, oh, yeah, we did, because I wouldn't let it go.
Exactly. And that's what we're talking about, real talk.
And some people are just politically savvy enough to work certain systems. Doesn't mean that they have the leadership or the skills, but they're just savvy enough and narcissistic enough
to
work it in their favor.
You said about 4 days.
They are able to do it, and they can make their life a living hell.
Got that right.
Exactly. That's what we're talking about. It's real talk. It's what we're talking about, talking real to you. And we're so glad we can come before you. But, you know, the time goes so fast. I'm so excited about it. I got people on Facebook I want to give a shout-out to. You know, I always try to make sure I give them that shout-out because they'll join us the next time. So I look forward to them doing that. Before I do that, I want to make sure the co-host, Dr. O, as well as Ms. Black, share some thoughts as we close it out, and then I'll share some things about what's going to be happening in the future when we're dealing with the Smith Way Production Company.
On a personal, local, and national level, we just have to educate ourselves. We just have to know our limits financially. We have to spend a dime and save a nickel where we can, because it does not always work in our favor. But if we educate ourselves, we educate to the knowledge that we have impact on what is happening. And when we no longer have impact on some things, we bow out gracefully. And
there
I don't mean political.
There you go. That's awesome. All right. Got it.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank we have such a great listening audience. That's what I love about this show. We just, you know, people that will come on Facebook, have whatever social means they get on and tune in to us is wonderful. These are informed people. They want to stay informed and engaged. My thing I would say close out by just saying, like the kids say, you know, we need to stay woke. That's not the term I use, but that's what the kids will say. Need to stay woke.
Yeah.
And we do not need to back up who we are. Be who we are. We know who we are. We are Americans. We are Black Americans. we are Asian Americans, whatever the ethnicity, religion, or whatever. The bottom line is we live in a democratic democracy. This is a democracy. We don't have a king or a queen. It is a democracy. We the people. And no, we haven't always lived up, and we don't live up to everything that we're supposed to be according to our Constitution. But we are striving. And we just need to know that. And you just need to get engaged, get involved, stay woke. And don't let it continue to happen to us.
Awesome. And that's all. That's real talk. And you had it tonight. And I'm going to give a shout out to these individuals. And a couple other things before I close it out. See, it's always a pleasure to have you on Magnificent Monday. Now, it used to be marvelous, but it's magnificent.
No, it's
so
magnificent.
We enjoy having you here. We have. I'm gonna give a shout out to these individuals that's on Facebook because they took time to just go stay here with us through the hour long show. That's Zena Houston, Tasima Jackson, Brandon Kimbrough, Denise Stephanie, that's out of California, Cameron Gilbert, Sandy Henderson, Dana Bowser out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority. Monique Sunshine Boyd. We also have Audrey Melly, Wanda Jones, Bruce E. DeWall Jr., member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity, as well as Brandon, I mentioned him earlier, Sasha Killing, Jennifer Herring Burch. She works with me, and she worked with the State Department now with the Career Tech of the State of Alabama. Now, we used to work together. Partnership in Lyons and Butler County. She was on earlier. Terry Jackson, Diane Jackson. Thank you, Diane. Connie Smith, and we know that guy. That's my brother, youngest brother. Miles Brown, one of my former players down at McKenzie, played football and basketball for me. There's Cinnamon Brown. Oh, yeah, Cinnamon Brown. Derek Cummings. Thank you, Derek, so much for joining us. Low Lexi Girl. Yvette Smith, that's my youngest sister. So she's checking us out over there in Georgia. Kim Tillman, Shanita Harrison Mitchell, family friend. Thank you, Shanita. Dion Harris, Sarah Zeta Phi Beta Sorority out of Nashville. Sutton, Rachel Sutton. And we also have a member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity, Dr. Scott Holmes. Thank you, Elder Holmes. Katrina Felder, Brian Steele, another member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated.
All right.
Timothy Kinney, member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated.
Mm.
Alice Williams, Barbara Dawson, Tony Ruoff, another member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. Jeremiah Askew, another member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity. Appreciate the brother joining. Jennifer Edwards, another one of my sisters. Thank you, Jen. We have, and that's the last, she made a couple of statements. She said, awesome show, stay woke. That's what we're talking about. We're going to continue to be saying, it's real talk. We'll come back and we'll have part two, but we're going to talk some politics and we're going to talk some education. It's enjoyable to be able to do this. I'm going to let you know about our show tomorrow, Dr. Lowe's show, that comes on 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And we're going to be talking some relationship things tomorrow. We're getting excited. You know, I get really excited when we start talking about that. Last show with black women on cheat. Now we're going to talk a little bit more about some other things tomorrow. That's 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Wednesday is Talking Sports Plus, which is 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard. That's our sports show, and I host that show as well. Then Thursday we have the Minister Shannon Show, and it'll be coming on at 8 o'clock on Thursday. So we have a week full of things that's going on. Check us out. Check out Facebook. I have it posted for everybody on Facebook as well as everybody that's on Blog Talk Radio. And last thing I want to mention that we still work. You know, our tour is in play. We're going to be doing October the 19th in Jonesboro, Georgia. And we're going to do a real talk about relationships. We're over there at the Lake Spivey Golf Club in Jonesboro, Georgia. And you can check it out. It's $15 in advance, $25 the day of the show. So we look forward to having you there on October the 19th at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I had to get it right now, and it's till 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That's how long the show going to last, broadcasting live, and we're going to talk some real talk about relationships. It's been an awesome night, and I appreciate everybody joining. We have quite a few numbers on here. We appreciate those, but I just see numbers. I don't have names associated with it, but we appreciate you joining us that way as well. So we're looking forward to tomorrow night at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, and also Wednesday night and Thursday night. Team, I appreciate y'all joining me. It's exciting to have you here, so we look forward to doing it again. You can check in tomorrow. You hear some of them topics we're going to be talking about, I'll send them to you. If you want to be a part of them, you can. But it's been an awesome night. As I tell everybody, my hashtag is keep on grinding. Hashtag communicate for understanding. Another hashtag is block by block. So we'll make sure we do our job and do what we're supposed to do.
Add another one. Say stay woke. Add the other one.
Hashtag stay woke.
Stay
so
woke.
So make sure you stay woke so you don't miss nothing, because that's what it's all about. Because, you know, God is so good to us, and we have to give him the praise. He allowed us to come thus far, just with this show and all the other shows. He keep on just giving vision, say, keep doing it. Use this vessel to share the word with our the people so our people can know exactly what's going on and have a voice to share it. So, again, we're in 15 countries, and we're glad to be able to have listeners in each one of those countries. And that's why I always say, you know, I feel like we're number one. So I'm going to play a song that's got a little kick to it now. But
yeah, baby. You know. Yeah. Back again. Luda. Meaner and meaner each time, baby. Feeling real good, too. What up, Uncle Face? Yeah. I'm a bull of this industry, man. Some would rather run down and get one cow. I think I'd rather walk down and get them all. You know what I'm talking about, right? Look, I'm never going nowhere, so don't try me. My music sticks in fans' veins like an IV. Flow poison like ivy. Oh, they grimy. Already offers on my sixth album for labels trying to sign me. Respected highly. Hi, Mr. O'Reilly. Hope all is well. Kiss the plaintiff and the wifey. Drove through the window, the industry supersized me. Now the girls see me and the river's what they cry me. I'm on the rise, so me